Hello, this is my Lenten diary for April the 4th, 2014. This is Friday in the fourth week of Lent. In today's lesson from Mark's Gospel, the ninth chapter, we read the familiar story of Jesus' transfiguration. I say familiar because if you're an Episcopalian listening to this, you know that we hear that story with some degree of frequency throughout every liturgical year. Today's story has all of the pieces that we're accustomed to. Jesus is on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and he transfigures. The three disciples with him get a glimpse of his glory as he turns dazzling white. The three witnesses also see Moses and Elijah, who appear to have a conversation with Jesus. Then there is Peter's nervous decision to engage in a building project. When faced with this much divine glory, the only thing he can think of to do is, let's build a monument to memorialize the occasion. Let's build three tents, three dwelling places, one for Jesus, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. There's the presence of a cloud, symbolic of the presence of God. And then there's the voice from heaven that says, "This is my Son, the Beloved," which points us back to Jesus' baptism when a voice said something similar. We are familiar with all of the components of the story. Mark throws a twist in as the disciples, Peter, James, and John, come down the mountain with Jesus. He tells them not to tell anyone. "Keep it a secret," he says. They've just seen one of the most spectacular things imaginable. And remember, they've been hanging out with Jesus, so they've seen some very spectacular things already, but this trumps it all, and now Jesus says, "Keep it quiet." It must have been troubling to them. Like I said, we know most of the components of the story, but what are we to make of it? Well, I've been on retreat for the last 48 hours at the Holy Wisdom Monastery in Middleton, just outside of Madison. And I've been thinking about this story a fair amount today, and I think one of the things that I've been puzzling over is the fact that in the press of Jesus' ministry, he takes Peter, James, and John on a nature walk up a mountain. Now, in our 21st century way of thinking, we might have thought to ourselves, "Jesus, there's lots for you to do. There are people who need to be healed, blind people who need to regain their sight, deaf people who need to be able to hear. There are lame folks who need to be able to walk. There are people who are possessed of demons. They need deliverance. You've got sermons to preach, lessons to teach. You've got to argue with the religious leadership. You've got to justify yourself. You've got things to do, Jesus. You've got to prepare the disciples because very soon you're going to be gone. And what are they going to do afterwards?" You get the point. In the middle of all that was going on in Jesus' life and ministry, he takes time out with three of his closest followers, and they go on retreat. They go for a time of prayer alone. Well, in my last 48 hours, I haven't seen any visions, haven't heard any voices, haven't gotten any big flashes of insight. I've spent a fair amount of time walking, some time thinking, some reading, some praying, some sleeping. And I think this is what I've gained out of the 48 hours. And that is that I need more space in my life. Perhaps you do too. We seem to be running constantly from one thing to another. The next email, the next report, the next project, the next deadline, the next meeting, the next event. It can seem as if we don't have time to breathe. And if we don't have time to breathe, and if we don't have a little space, how do we ever have time to hear God remind us that we are the beloved. It's easy to forget when we live in a society whose theme song is, "What have you done for me lately?" It's easy to get caught up in the false assumption that our value and our worth is wrapped up in what we can do and how we can benefit people. And for the last few hours, I've been thinking seriously about what does that mean for us? Well, this is not a time for psychological exploration, but I did happen to think about looking at the collect for the Feast of the Transfiguration that we celebrate every August the 6th. And I think that it captures a little bit of what I've been thinking about today. I recognize that one of the gifts of being a clergy person is that I can take a 48-hour retreat and people think that that is perfectly normal. And I recognize that other people don't have that opportunity. And so one of the things that I'm praying about today is that the people that I work with and serve with, that we can figure out ways in our church calendar, in our parish calendar, to create a little spaciousness, to give people some time to sit and to be and to breathe and to listen to their breath and to listen for the Spirit of God. And who knows? We might just see something that transfigures us. At the very least, we might get ourselves recentered for the work that always exists at the foot of the mountain. Let us pray. O God, who on the holy mountain revealed to chosen witnesses your well-beloved Son, wonderfully transfigured in raiment white and glistening, mercifully grant that we, being delivered from the disquietude of this world, may by faith behold the King in his beauty, who with you, O Father, and you, O Holy Spirit, lives and reigns, one God, forever and ever. Amen.